All right, on this episode, I get to bring back Dr. Carmen Landrau. She is a keynote speaker on women's empowerment and coaches those who want to become speakers or MCs. And today we are talking about becoming a thought leader. So I can't wait. You guys stay tuned right after this little intro.
Welcome back, Tribe. You are listening to Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box, where we invite doctors, dentists, and medical entrepreneurs who are breaking the mold, stepping outside the box as entrepreneurs, and practicing on their terms to share their journey, wisdom, and their inspiration with the world. I am your host, Dr. Myesha Claiborne. My calling is to help doctors find freedom, fulfillment, and full self-expression. I have helped dozens of medical professionals transform their mindset, leverage their skill set, and build profitable businesses and careers they love. Now, let's get to the good stuff. But before we do, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you never miss an opportunity for inspiration, motivation, and empowerment with me and our amazing guests. Now, let's take it to the next level, y'all. Here we go.
Welcome back to Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box. And I am so excited. I told y'all when Dr. Landrau came on last time, we were going to have a part two. And here it is. Carmen, I am so excited to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for coming in. Tell us what's been going on since the last show. We had this conversation. We're still in the midst of the COVID craziness. You know, I know that it's been an interesting year, but I'm so excited to talk about becoming a thought leader with you. But give us a little update on what's been going on. And for those listeners who haven't heard from you, just give us a little background on what you do, who you are, what your specialty is.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
Yes.
You have great energy. You know that, right?
Oh, thank you.
You do. So, well, I am Dr. Carmen Landrau. I'm a cardiologist and I live in Houston, Texas, originally from Puerto Rico, but I've been in Houston for the past 18 years now. I did my training in internal medicine and my fellowship here, and I opened my solo cardiology practice 10 years ago. So exactly 10 years ago in 2010, I opened my solo practice.
Congratulations.
Almost, you would say, I don't want to say right out of training. I stayed with the University of Texas for a little while, and then I decided to go on my own way and do my own thing. It's been a great school. I don't have that clinic anymore. I only see inpatients, but I am also a keynote speaker. So I speak on women's empowerment and leadership, and also train people who want to become speakers, because one thing leads to another, as you know, Myesha.
That's right.
Right? When people find out that you do one thing, they're like, okay, well, can you help me?
Can you help Absolutely. Me? That's right. Sure, for a small fee.
Exactly. That's how you grow your business.
That's right.
So people who are interested in becoming keynote speakers, speaking to the workshops, or MC, because there's actually people who don't want to be a speaker. They just want to be the master or mistress of ceremony of an event. So, and that's a very different skill. Mm-hmm. If people don't know that, that's a very different skill. So that's, those are the things I do. And also, but now in this, since we spoke last time, I have been very busy. And it's interesting because being a speaker, you're used to traveling, you're used to being in these live events. And when COVID hit, everybody freaked out. Everybody was like, oh my God, there are no more events because we can't gather.
Right.
We can't travel. We can't be near, even if it was in town, we can be near people, you know, after, you know, if it's more than 6 feet or all these coordination has to happen. So events were canceled, period. Event planners were very stressed. They were very anxious. They didn't know, because there's a lot of behind the scenes that happens in an event. So in their understanding their part, of course, they're losing money and they're scared that they're going to have to, what's going to happen to their business.
Right.
But also as a speaker, if this is my business, okay, what's going to happen to mine?
Right.
And remarkably, I have been very busy. I've been doing a lot of virtual events.
Yes.
It's a new skill. A lot of recording, a lot has to happen behind the scenes. And we're all learning as we go. It's been great. I think the best thing is that, at least for me, I've kept an open mind. I've had to learn a new set of skills and learn how to renegotiate for something that nobody has any root, if we can say it that way.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And what I love is that, you know, I remember the last time we talked, there was this, well, you know, now COVID has shut everything down. We can't gather, we can't travel, you know, what's going to happen to the speakers? And one of the things we talked about is like, you know, eventually we're going to have to adapt and there'll be lots of virtual events. And so it is wonderful to hear that the demand has still been great for such an amazing woman like yourself, an amazing physician like yourself, because it's still, the empowerment is still needed. That's the thing. You know, the empowerment is still needed. Events must go on. They just look different from before. So, and look, when you're a thought leader, right? When you're a thought leader, you remain in demand. And so that's one of the things that we're talking about today. But before we do that, I have a question. It's kind of like a little off topic, but I don't remember whether we talked about this the last time or not. Can you distinguish how the skills of an MC are different from the skills of a speaker? Because I believe that that is important for people to distinguish, especially if they're thinking they want to be one or the other. And they may think, well, I want to be a speaker, and then discover that they're really good at being an MC. So can you distinguish that for us real quick?
Absolutely. You know, I can tell you, I'm a great speaker. Can I MC? I think I can. I know I can. My passion is in speaking. But an MC has such a different set of skills. And one of the things I need people to understand is the MC makes or breaks the event. Not only the speaker, of course, the speaker may be the one in the spotlight. And if you have this big event with these great names, of course, this person will be the star of the show. Mm-hmm. Although the audience actually is the star of the show, but the audience goes to see the speaker.
Right.
However, the MC is a very important piece in the puzzle because this person is a timekeeper. He's basically the goalie. This person is a timekeeper. This person sets the tone. Mm-hmm. And if you have an event, have you ever been at an event, just to give you an example, have you ever been at an event where the person who's presenting or the people who are presenting, they are being a little bit monotone or slow and boring? Mm-hmm. Well, the speaker is someone who actually can pick up that event. If you are in between, just to give you an example, if you are in between speakers, if you notice the audience is okay, they're looking at their cell phones and now they're falling asleep, they're starting to get up and leave, that's going to affect the event.
Yeah.
We cannot allow that. The MC actually works hand in hand with the event planner. Mm-hmm. Not only keeping the time, making sure the energy is there, and also trying to elevate the event so that when the event ends, people leave wanting more. Mm-hmm. They don't want to leave. They, oh my God, can we just have a little bit more? This was a great event. When is the next event? When is the next time? When is the next year? Mm-hmm. That's the role of one of the roles of the MC.
Interesting. Does an MC, so I know a lot of times an MC can get paid outright, but in events where there are sales happening, does an MC get a percentage of the sales if they keep the crowd up and, you know, if they do their job? Can they negotiate a percentage of the sales?
The answer is it depends, as usual.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah.
Many times what I see, they're using as MC the person who works in the company. Mm-hmm. In other events, they hire an MC and the MC sets their fee. Ah. Sometimes they have speakers and the speakers may say, I cannot not be a speaker at this event, but I'm willing to be an MC. These are my fees. Let's negotiate. Mm-hmm. So there are different ways. And some people may say, you know, this is for a fundraiser. They understand it's for free, but they also get other things out of it. Maybe they get testimonials. Maybe they get the photo. They get the reputation and other people hire them. So it's kind of a opening the door to other events.
Got it. Interesting. And I was, you know, I was really interested to know that because even for myself, and a lot of people don't know this about me, I don't often talk about it, but I'm a poet. So I used to do a lot of spoken word and I actually hosted my own open mic for many years, a couple of different open mics over the years. And that was, you know, a long time ago, but I discovered about myself that I loved running the open mic and being the person in between, like the MC, probably more than I like doing my poetry. because there is a, and at least my experience, and this is, you know, this is poetry, this is a different, it's an open mic type of circumstance, but in my experience, it's you get to interact with the crowd, you get to hype the crowd, you get to make the crowd laugh, you get to get them moving and standing up and dancing or whatever it is that you get to do.
Right.
And that for me is super fun because it lets me show my silly side and my animated side and this side that maybe people who know me from a professional, now that I'm in the space that I'm in, a lot of people see that animated side a lot more. But, people in my former life would look at me and be like, wow, I didn't know she had that kind of energy, right? And so it was interesting that, you coach in that realm, like the difference between being an MC and the difference between being a speaker. And that's really kind of cool.
It's very different. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And I think there's people who are really, really good at being MCs. They are not interested in speaking. They're interested in just being there behind the podium. Mm-hmm. You don't have to necessarily be behind the podium, mm-hmm. But that's where they feel comfortable and they do a great job. Mm-hmm. I've been to this event every year for women in business. And for the past 2 years, they've hired the same person to be an MC and she's fantastic. Mm-hmm. She is amazing. And I can see why. And I hope if they do the event next time, they bring her back. That's how good she is.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So a little bit of a switch in topic here, but not so much, which is being a thought leader. And I guess the biggest question is, how does one become a thought leader? And really, what is considered a thought leader?
Yeah. Well, thought leadership is, when I think people are more related to the word influencer mm-hmm. lately, mm-hmm. but I don't like to identify with that word influencer. To me, it's more like social media yeah. with the youth, big numbers of
right.
followers.
Right.
That's not necessarily that. A thought leader is someone who has voices his or her opinion mm-hmm. or a thought, and people identify with it. Mm-hmm. And through those words, they can lead people to other things.
Right.
They can lead people to start thinking differently. Mm-hmm. We can lead people to change path, mm-hmm. maybe change rules, change laws. Mm-hmm. At least you start by opening people's eyes to the conversation, if yeah. that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. It's interesting because, this terminology, thought leader, came into my space, a couple of years ago. I mean, I became aware of the term a couple of years ago when someone invited me into a sort of like a think tank. And they talked about, there are many thought leaders in, and I was like, I'm a thought leader. And so it's interesting because I as I had to deal with my own feelings of inadequacy back then, and even, up till recently, having, declaring that, yes, I am a thought leader in a lot of respects. And even still, it takes something for me to say that. But I think it's interesting because there are probably more people out there who are thought leaders who don't realize they are thought leaders, And it's just what you said. Like, if you're causing people to think differently and take different actions, and you're a part of the transformation or something, or a part of a movement, then you're a thought leader in your own right.
Yeah, that's correct. In my case, I speak on women's empowerment. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you intend to be a thought leader, or I didn't intend to be a thought leader. Mm-hmm. I just started speaking. I just started sharing my message, and women started responding to it, mm-hmm. started to accept some of the things I said that, they recognized,
yeah.
they identified with it. And then we start a conversation. Mm-hmm. And then one thing leads to another, once, instead of having a two people conversation, we have 3, 5, now we have a group, now we have a conference.
Right.
So these are the things that happen. It's a process. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's people that or at least I don't know anyone who's said, I want to be a thought leader when I grow up. I don't know about that. You might want to be a doctor, but
right.
I want to be a thought leader. I haven't heard of that.
It's so funny that I had to laugh about that because I had a potential client and that's what he said. I want to be a thought leader. And I was like, well, that's an interesting goal, right? Because I think when you take on something that you're passionate about and you speak on that and you're actually changing and transforming lives like you're doing, you know, and like I'm doing in a lot of ways, you automatically become a thought leader. And I think you can become a thought leader without having to try, if that makes sense. Because if you're impacting the world, then you're leading thought in a lot of ways. But it's so funny, you're like, no, you haven't heard of someone say, I want to be a thought leader. But actually I have. They're like, I want to be a thought leader. And it's like, well, in order to be a thought leader, you know, impact the world. That's all you got to do.
And I think it happens after certain experiences.
Yes.
You know, but that's what I meant. You know, you're not a child. Oh, I want to be a thought leader. You know, that's less likely, although I hope it happens. But I think you have to go through certain experiences. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think people that or the presumption that people who are thought leaders or people who are in the spotlight, they're doing it to grab attention, other people's attention. In my case, I don't see it that way. I see that being in the spotlight or being a thought leader is a big responsibility because, you know, you are a physician, we're physicians. We know, we understand the responsibility we have with the population. Mm-hmm. Of course, because we deal with lives, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're not a physician, even if you don't have one of the, you know, a big career doing something specific that people know about, you're like me, you know, I'm a speaker and people sometimes have a little bit of trouble understanding that. But the minute you set foot in front of a group, your words have impact on people.
Yes.
And at some point you have to be careful with what you say. I'm not saying please stop talking, don't say this even if you strongly believe it. You can share your beliefs, but you also have to understand that this is a big responsibility. Mm-hmm. And also people interpret your words a certain way. Mm-hmm. So before getting in front of people and speaking or sharing your opinion, what am I trying to accomplish here? Mm-hmm. Am I trying to stir emotions or am I trying to educate people? Am I trying to change something that's been hurting others for so long? Mm-hmm. And now I have this platform and I can use it positively.
Right.
So right. These are some of the things that I'd like people to think before they act. Mm-hmm. And if people want to be thought leaders, first of all, what is your purpose?
I love that. I love that because, you know, you're so right. Like our words have impact and you never know who you're influencing, who you're impacting. You know, we never know. Like we're like the pebble that you drop in the lake and the ripples go out. You don't know how far that ripple is going to go. And so you really have to be responsible for your words. You have to be responsible for your message and understand that people will take things a certain way. Let's just take, for example, the whole thing about drinking bleach. And yes, let's just take that example. You know, we have leadership that is not being responsible. And I'm not trying to go down the political route, but it's just a really good example of what you said. You know, we have leadership that is not responsible for the speaking, not responsible for the power of his message. And so to say, oh, well, you know, bleach will kill the virus and then have people actually drink bleach or, you know, chloroquine will kill the virus. And then there's a shortage suddenly of chloroquine, just to like irresponsibly spout things out is not being responsible for one's message. So it's like what you said, you have to like think about, well, what is the intention? What is the purpose of what you're trying to do? And is that purpose to the benefit of people, you know, or to the, you know, to the detriment of the masses? You know, think about that because it could go either way.
That's true. You know, I think a leader has to be very careful when they use their words, how they use them, where they use them, when mm-hmm. they use them. Because as a leader, as we said before, you influence people. People mm-hmm. may take actions based on what you say or do. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough job, first of all. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to be the leader in standing in front of people and, mm-hmm. and taking that. But at the same time, you have to think that you're there for these people. Mm-hmm. Whatever your leadership role is, it could be a small company or it could be in front of the whole planet. Mm-hmm. You have a responsibility with these people. So mm-hmm. what are we saying here? If I'm just blurting out things out of the top of my head, mm-hmm. where everybody's seeing them and hearing them, I need to understand that they still may take action based on that. Mm-hmm. And not everybody has the is capable of make the decision.
Right.
And they just may act on what people say.
Right.
And, you know, just going to the example you gave, one of my worries when these things came out was, well, there are children listening to this.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And they hear what we say, they mimic what we do, they, mm-hmm. you know, they're always paying attention. So mm-hmm. if so-and-so says something, it must be good. I can do it.
Yeah. Or
even if they're not even thinking, even if a child listens to that and, okay, mm-hmm. sounds fun. Let me take that. Let me take a sip.
Yep.
Well, we know it's very dangerous.
Right.
And so many other things, you know, we have our leaders in our community who are trying to make it better for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it comes a time when a leader has to say, let me stop for a second. Let me think. Mm-hmm. And then present this topic in a way that is going to be the most effective.
Yep.
Without the least capable. Being the least capable of hurting others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and on the flip side of that, right, is that there are people who don't think that they have the capacity to impact people, right? Who don't even realize how their great ideas, how their voice can actually make a positive difference. And I think we see a lot of that in our community. And I think especially in women, because of the history of our voices being squelched for so long and our rights being stepped on for so long, you know, women, we can say as women of color, you know, same thing. We automatically think that maybe our voice is too small or we don't have the best idea or we can't. People don't want to hear what we have to say, or people don't want to listen to us. These are all the limiting decisions that we might have made about ourselves. But I'm here to tell you that you have no idea. And I'm talking to my listeners out there. It's like, you have no idea the impact that you can make. You just open your mouth and share, right? If you know you have a passion for something and you know it's helped individuals, why not help many?
Absolutely. I think everybody has the potential of influencing others. Mm-hmm. We all have that capacity. We are all able to do that. Mm-hmm. I think it's part of our imposter syndrome.
Yes.
It's also part of, in women, of course, more than anything, it's how we've been brought up or how society set the rules.
Mm-hmm.
We're usually seen as second place to men. We're mm-hmm. usually seen as not important. Mm-hmm. And our roles have been predetermined from birth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, right? Sometimes. Yeah. We know, or nobody has told you, but you know you're going to go home and take care of the kids, mm-hmm. and the men will take care of bringing money and being providers and mm-hmm. working outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work for me. I'm not saying that's what happened in my case, of course, because it didn't happen that way.
All right.
I think I was a bit more difficult than that. So are you.
Right, exactly.
Because,
exactly.
I didn't conform to the norm. I didn't mm-hmm. conform to... To me, it was more of why? Why does it have to be that way? Why do I have to do this when my brother is allowed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, well, why can't I speak up when I see something wrong?
Right.
Why don't I deserve something when I'm working as hard or harder than my peers?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not getting the recognition? And when you realize that you're not the only one, then it gives you more power because now it's like, okay, this is something that's not happening only to me. I'm not difficult. I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. I am not different. This mm-hmm. is happening, but maybe those in power are not acknowledging it, or they know it, but they don't want to accept the fact that now I know.
Right.
So what am I going to do about it?
Right.
And that's right. Where we need to empower women. We need to let them know it's okay to speak up. Mm-hmm. You have a voice. Please use it.
Mm-hmm.
If you consider yourself different for whatever reason, your color, your race, your ethnicity, of course, I am Puerto Rican and I live in Houston now. There's not many Puerto Ricans here, although more than when I came 18 years ago.
Right.
But I'm a part of a different culture. So I know I stand out in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And in other cases, I know I may be potentially treated differently.
Right.
It depends if I want to accept it or not. Do I want to be vocal and say, excuse me, that's wrong?
Yeah.
Or, I'm not taking it.
Yeah.
Let's redirect. Let's address it a different way. And this is the proper way to address this problem or this situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that there are some, there must be some things that for those women who are starting to wake up to, well, you know, could I be a thought leader? Maybe I am a thought leader. Or maybe, you know, the ladies out there, the docs out there who are like, yeah, you know what? I think I would like to be a thought leader. How do you know what you're a thought leader in? Like, if that's something you strive to be as a professional, how do you know what to choose as to be a thought leader? And does that become natural based on what you're automatically passionate about? Is there a process there?
I think there's a process depending on the person. There are different processes, not one straight path. Mm-hmm. Some people have that urge from a very young age, and they're always speaking and getting in front of others and mm-hmm. commenting. Some people are more quiet, but they do a lot more thinking. They may be more introvert, more mm-hmm. observant, mm-hmm. and they present it a different way. It could be in writing. It could be in a, you know, another platform. However, I think we all have the ability of being thought leaders.
Yeah.
And you should identify it. If you have this idea, this thought, this comfort that keeps coming, mm-hmm. and you try to put it down. It's like putting down a little fire that never goes off, and then mm-hmm. it comes back again.
Yeah.
And then you try to put it back again, you know, in the back burner, and you try to, maybe I shouldn't speak. Maybe, no, it's not in my place. What are they going to say? But then this idea comes back again, and, you know, you have to share it somehow. Mm-hmm. You need to start paying attention.
Yeah.
You need to start paying attention to that, and you should start acting on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that you need to go out there and make a, you know, go in a big stage. And why don't you start little by little?
Yes.
Do you know anybody that you can identify? Is there anybody you can identify that has a similar thought of that you have? Because it doesn't have to be women's empowerment. In my case, it happened to be women's empowerment. Mm-hmm. But let's say you speak on other things. Let's say you speak on work relations or, I don't know, you're an advocate for children mm-hmm. or healthcare. Mm-hmm. If this is something that moves you, that you encounter yourself reading about, that you like whenever something in the news comes off, and you're like, oh my God, this is so interesting. You should follow that path
right. And
try it. Let's say you follow it and then it turns out you don't like it. Well, there's always something else.
That's right.
You can do something else. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the start, and then it takes you to another level that you find what you really want to be good at in terms of thought leadership, mm-hmm. where you can actually share your message in a way that people will listen to it, they'll react to it, and then they'll act. Or maybe it's something that you find it right away. Mm-hmm. In my case, it took a lot of thinking. I did not start speaking on women's empowerment initially. I was speaking on heart disease. Mm-hmm. But I was dragged into heart disease on women.
Right.
Right? Because we know that women have a higher mortality. Mm-hmm. Heart disease is the number one cause of death in women, but that's not recognized as that.
Right.
And when women present to an ER with symptoms of a heart attack because they present atypically,
right,
the care may be delayed. Mm-hmm. So I was asked to speak on that, and I started speaking on that. And they're like, okay, you need to keep doing this, and you need to keep doing this. And I'm like, okay, what's happening here?
Right.
It happened, right?
Yeah.
And I can do it very easily because that's my job. It's what mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. But then again, with my interaction with other women at work, when they come to me and, okay, how do you do it? How are you a mom and a cardiologist? And you do all these things. How do you do it? The first thing I say, do as I say, not as I do. You don't want to do this. Like, no, I really want to do this. But we, you know, we get the conversation going. And then it turns out that they have all these situations that are so similar. And nobody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. Nobody's giving guidance. They don't even know if it's right for them to complain. Mm-hmm. But they're being treated unfairly. Mm-hmm. Well, why am I not going to complain? Why at least can we at least address the elephant in the room? Mm-hmm. Women are here, they're working hard, they're not getting recognition, they're not getting hired. Mm-hmm. They're thought of as, once they get pregnant, they're not going to want to start working, mm-hmm. they're not going to come back. Why are these thoughts happening and people taking action based on these misbeliefs, mm-hmm. as opposed to opening the conversation? Maybe I can decide for myself if I want to go back to work after I have children. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's how you do it. You start talking to people, develop it, and see how it affects others.
I like that. And one thing I also like about what you said was that you don't, being a thought leader doesn't necessarily, you have to be out in front of people on big stages in front of lots of people. Like there are various ways to get your thoughts out there. So you may be a major blogger, it might be a podcast, it may be like your social media influencer and you do lives and videos, or maybe you're a speaker or an MC. You know, you could be inside of the corporate arena, you could be in different industries. So I think it's important for people to know, especially for the introverts out there, they're like, oh my God, I'm a thought leader. I don't want to be a thought leader because I don't want to be out there in front of people. But no, it's not about that. It's about speaking the elephant in the room, as you said, you know, speaking the elephant in the room, speaking transformation and helping people to think differently. Like in my case, you know, initially it was burnout. And I began to speak a lot on burnout, but I would say the things that nobody else was saying. So I'm known for that, you know, saying the stuff that people are thinking, but nobody else is saying. And also saying the opposite sometimes of what other people are saying. Like people are saying, do this. And I'm like, well, maybe you should try that though. Right. And so that's thought leadership, you know, and then in career transition and entrepreneurship, well, that the way that evolved was just me continuing to talk like, look, you know, the folks would replace you in a week if you weren't able to fulfill your jobly duties, God forbid. Right. So why are you hanging on to your discomfort and, you know, like things like that? And now I've transitioned to this whole world of mindset, of neurolinguistic programming, of being mindful of your language and using your language to influence and create your life the way you want it. And so it's all about, for me, it has been just about what I'm just speaking about what I'm passionate about, but also being willing to go against the grain some. And there are people out there who think against the grain, but are afraid to say anything. And so you have to be courageous, I think, to be a thought leader. And be willing to speak your thoughts, even if they're not the popular thought. You know, I have always been I believe started as the unpopular thought, or maybe I would say the thought that people would kind of side eye me and be like, "What the hell is she talking about?" For a while, and then they're like, "Oh, okay, I'm digging it. Give me some more." Like I think that's another aspect of being a thought leader, but it can be in any medium. I started out like blogging because I didn't like doing the video and putting myself out there. Ironically, I did have an online radio show for 7 years, but you know, it's kind of like nobody had to really see me. I could either speak and I had a co-host, or I could blog and people could see my writing, but my face didn't have to be out there, right? So I think there are these various levels and all these things to think about, but I think the bottom line and the point is what you illustrated is everybody has the potential, and you just have to be courageous enough to speak your thoughts to the right people and start small, like you said. And you know, we say start low, go slow.
One step at a time. Start with where you feel most comfortable. If you feel most comfortable with blogging, you don't have to show your face. You don't have to, nobody has to hear your voice. Mm-hmm. One secret if you allow me to share here.
Please.
Most people don't like their voice, don't like how they look, whether it's a photo or video. They have a lot of, you know, it happens to most of us. And it's not just that you don't like it. You're more scared of what people might think of how you look or how you sound.
Yeah.
I didn't know I have an accent. And if you ask me, I don't have an accent.
That's hilarious.
Until I heard myself. And then I was like, okay, I need to stop this. I can't keep. And my husband's like, are you crazy? Everybody has an accent. I'm like, no. Like, yes, everybody has an accent. Mm-hmm. You get this person out of their place of birth and you move them somewhere, they will have an accent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a thought.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, it makes sense. But you know, I think we're all scared of that initially. Start where you're most comfortable. Start where you feel good. If you feel good, not even in a blog, but in a small group, whether it's at work, place of work, or your community, mm-hmm. go out there, try it, see how it goes. What's the worst that can happen? the worst that can happen is that people have not the reaction that you expected. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, nobody cares tomatoes and eggs in their bags just to throw them at you.
I love it.
I hope not.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Yeah. It doesn't happen anymore.
No.
So what can happen? That people don't clap? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you are interpreting their reaction as something it's not. Maybe they're impacted by your words, because it's happened to me. I was in this conference once and people were just staring. And I'm presenting and I feel like, oh my God, these people, are they alive? What's going on? At the end, I get this huge appreciation, huge clap, and they're all tweeting as I'm speaking. Mm-hmm. They are tweeting. And they're saying, she's giving me life. You need to hear this. She has so much energy. And I'm like, okay, guys, please give me some of that when I'm speaking, just to know that you're appreciating it. So just wait for someone to tell you you're doing it wrong.
Yes. And most likely that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. If your intentions are the right ones, if you have the right mindset, what you're doing, are you stirring the pot? Well, maybe you're stirring the pot. Mm-hmm. What is it that they call you, difficult or that don't talk about that? Well, why not?
Yeah.
Because I'll be the first one to say, why not? And one thing I like about thought leadership, many times it gives name to the situation or to whatever actions are wrong. Mm-hmm. And it helps when you give a name. Mm-hmm. Because once you have a name for an action, it's harder for those who are committing it to deny it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you say, let's take, for example, gender discrimination. Mm-hmm. Once you put a name into it, okay, why did this happen? Why are you saying this happened to you?
Yeah.
And why is the other person acting this way? Why are they saying they didn't do it? Yeah. Let's evaluate what's happening here. As opposed to, oh, well, you don't like me. That's more superficial. Mm-hmm. When we give a name to our actions, then that's more objective and you can present your case better and you can influence people better.
Yeah, and thought leader tends to be disruptive. So embrace it. Embrace the being disruptive. I love being disruptive. It's actually my thing, you know? It's like I am disruptive and I love it. And I think that's a way to be, because it wakes people up and jolts people back into life, like you said. So yeah, I think that, so many good points today. And you know, so I guess the last question I have for you is there any, what would you like to leave our listeners with about becoming a thought leader? If there's any one thing you could leave them with about becoming a thought leader, what would you leave them with?
I will tell them, take it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. Success doesn't happen overnight. Change doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. You have to be there, be consistent, be disciplined about it. There will be good days. There will be terrible days. But I guarantee you that if you follow your passion and your intentions are in the right place, you will have so much better days than bad days. Yeah. And at some point, you'll start seeing the result of your efforts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. And if I might add in one little last thing that just came to my mind as you were speaking, if you get hecklers and haters, you know you were on the right track.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, you know, I love what you said. Just one day at a time. You know, it's like, it doesn't come overnight. You have to be gentle and be patient with yourself and just continue to have that stamina. Yeah, you too can become a thought leader.
Absolutely.
Love it. Love it. Well, tell the listeners, of course, once again, how they can reach out to you if they want to, number one, follow you. Number two, if they want to invite you to speak, and if they would like to hire you as a speaking coach or a coach to be an MC.
Absolutely. The easiest way to contact me is through my website, and it's drlandrau.com, and that's drlandrau.com. I'm also on social media. You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. My handle is drlandrau. And it's the easiest way to find me, LinkedIn or my website. Mm-hmm.
Very good. So LinkedIn, the website is / Dr. Landrau. The website, you know, that's that branding. That's my solid branding right there. And so we'll have all of these links in the show notes once again. so that the listeners can connect with you if they would like to, and you know, become thought leaders, become speakers, become MCs, and or hire you on to empower their ladies. So thank you so much, Carmen, for coming in again and, you know, gracing the show with your wisdom, with your knowledge, with your energy, with all of that. I just so appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I really enjoy being here with you and your audience.
It's so fun. All right, y'all. Well, you heard it. This is Dr. Carmen Landrell, cardiologist and motivational speaker. And look, let me go on. And speak coach for speakers. So you guys check her out, drlandrell.com. And I will have all her information in the show notes. Of course, y'all know where to find me if you want to work on that mindset, getting rid of those limiting beliefs, those limiting decisions, those negative emotions. You can reach me at drmaisha.com. But you know, the star of the day is Dr. Carmen. So as usual, I thank you for listening, my listeners. And without you, there is no show, of course. So if you would be so kind to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, let us know how you like the show, and so that others coming behind you can know that this show is legit, and others will, we can continue to spread this word and influence others as well. So it's been a pleasure once again, Carmen. Thank you so much. And I look forward to future collaborations.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. And so we're out. You guys have a great rest of the day and a great rest of the week. Stay safe out there. Mask up. And we will see you on the next show. Namaste.
Thanks for spending time with us on this episode of Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box. We hope you enjoyed this one as much as the rest. Remember to go ahead and hit the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is released. It is you as our listener who help our podcast to grow. So if you like this podcast, if you enjoy what you're hearing, if you are inspired, we'd really appreciate it if you'd write a quick review and share it with five of your friends. We want to continue to expand our reach and bring this transformation to all of those doctors and medical professionals out there who are still seeking more autonomy, more freedom, more expression and purpose in their careers and lives. Finally, if you want to learn more about how I can help you as a doctor or medical professional transform your mindset, leverage your skill set, and create a profitable business and career you love by your design, please check out my website, www.drmaisha.com. That's drmaisha.com. On my website, you can access one of my three free masterclasses to get you started on your journey to the next level. Have a wonderful rest of the day and an amazing rest of the week, y'all. And keep your head up, looking to the next level. Namaste.